Thank you very much, Aaron. And thank you, Squirrel Hill Poets, for all that you've done for me over the last, I believe, it's about 15 years. And I'm very happy to be reading with this group tonight. I decided to read four ekphrastic poems. Now, an ekphrastic poem is one that is written about some other art form other than poetry. And the first one I'm going to read is about a drama that was performed by the Pittsburgh Public Theater in 2001. Between Worlds, after the drama Tea by Valina Hassu Houston. Nothing Japanese happens without tea. Not even cleansing a house after a suicide. Of all who knew Himiko, four friends bring tea and cakes, not as offering for her spirit, but their own repast. Unseen, she lingers, clad in cheap black slip under kimono classic as Genji. But the table settings cast bad luck. She, four, also means death. The women kneel on cushions, raise cups, gossip about the one missing. Who could make up the fifth, break the jinx, if they knew her ghost hovers? Could confess they are all between worlds, brides of the war, interned by their vows, dead center in Kansas. They consecrate her sideboard, streaked with old candle wax, four sticks of incense upright in sand-filled urn, waft jasmine smoke around Himiko kneeling. After her visitors depart, a fifth cup is lowered to Himiko's waiting hands. She bows at last to absent sisters. She sips. Next one also happens to have a Japanese slant to it. It's this time the other art form is a film, and the title of the film is Cherry Blossoms. The title of the poem is Dancing Buto. Now, Buto is a modern form of Japanese dance, and a minor character in the film is a young street performer in a park in Tokyo, and she dances this kind of dance. Dancing Buto from the film Cherry Blossoms. The young dancer in flowered kimono spreads fingers deliberately as the dawn, then curls them inward. Legs in white tights stretch out. Slippered feet point, slide in steps old as kabuki, new as yesterday. First anniversary of her mother's death. She cradles a pink telephone receiver against her white painted face, tilts black rimmed eyes upward toward fleeting cherry blossoms. The long pink spiral cord attached to nothing else flows with her body, trails along the walk, wraps around trunks of trees. Her mother loved the telephone. Now she brings her mother to the city park every day, and in this dance they talk. The young woman explains Buto all about shadowy shapes on sunlit pavement, forms of hands, arms, head a tilt, all about those we've lost, loved, disappointed. Those who loved abandoned us. Their spirits become the shadows we carry within us, and there they remain. Every day we don their lives, their faces, dance, and cast new shadows. Thank you. The other two poems I'm going to read are both about sculptures. And I've actually made a note card with my own watercolor painting of one of these statues. And they're over there on the table. This sculpture is on the grounds of Mount Olivet Retreat Center in Minnesota. And it's incomplete. The artist never completed it. The bird has only one wing. It has a wing on only one side. And to me, although it doesn't look much like a dove, really, with a long neck, it suggested to me two symbolic doves. Dove as a symbol of peace, and dove as representing the Holy Spirit. So the poem actually kind of floats in the sky there above the bird. And when I took this to the Squirrel Hill Workshop, they pointed out to me that the poem can be read two ways. And I was thinking of just reading it, you know, the left column and then the right column. And they pointed out it can be read across as well. So I'm going to read it both ways. It actually has no title, but the title of the painting is One Winged Dove, and I'll read it first in the columns and then across. Dove of peace, one wing poised, dreams of flight, other wing broken, lost. Dove on earth, moored to base, yearns for wind. Holy dove, one wing raised, lifts towards sky. Other wing, hid from sight, outside time. Spirit rises, peace reborn. Dove of peace, holy dove, one wing poised, one wing raised, dreams of flight, lifts toward sky. Other wing, broken, lost, hid from sight. Dove on earth, outside time, moored to base, spirit rises, yearns for wind, peace reborn. Okay. Now, the last poem, I actually have made some printouts for this, and if I appreciate if anyone can kind of, there probably aren't enough for every person to have one, but if someone would like to kind of plunk some down on the tables, and they could be passed around. I actually have also this picture that I can show you as, this is the sculpture. Again, this poem is about a sculpture. And it's in a small picture at the bottom of the copy of the poem. Last October, poets in the area were invited to go to the Panza Gallery in Millville. And there was an exhibit. The title of the entire exhibit was Sanctuary. It included paintings, photographs, sculpture, various media. And the poets were to choose a work, or some hadn't had enough time during the workshop to work on with write about more than one, and to write about their chosen work. So this is the one that I picked. The title of the sculpture is Diwali, in parentheses, Inner Light, by Malia Bennett. And my poem is Inner Light. One. Yes, it is here, in this clay icon of a tenement, lightning cracked by time, by loss, by want, by some apocalyptic seizure, fragments of the wall lying like markers pointing anywhere else. It was four stories high. It must have had a roof. There is nothing inside except something somehow bright, golden, the color of embers about to die or to flare into life again. Move back and forth to see it clear. Two. It wavers, flickers, shines again, impossible to see just once, only one way. It comes from nothing visible in that mud-colored artifact portraying wreckage. No lamp, no candle. It manifests from somewhere else, above, outside, around the broken shell. Without light somewhere, not even this art-made edifice could be seen. The light inside, the light flashing outward, is all the light, one light, inner, outer, everywhere, the light. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And our next reader is Joseph Karasek.